In the name of Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. The year was 1985, and Coca-Cola had a problem. Over the last decade or so before that, they saw its market share either plateauing or even declining in some places, and they had seen its great rival, Pepsi, making gains. By 1985, the folks at Coke were getting nervous. They thought, we need a change. We need to do something different, something dramatic, something drastic. And so they came out with New Coke. It's one of the worst decisions a company in America has ever made. Maybe some of you remember this. The outcry against New Coke was so great and overwhelming that within a month, things were in the work to get away with the New Coke. And they realized something that they probably should have realized all along. There was no reason to change the old Coke. They'd see different results at different times, but they didn't need to change the formula. It worked! They got rid of New Coke, and to this day, old Coke is what you can get each day. The year was around 700 BC. The problem for the prophet Isaiah and the Israelites, well, it had seemed that over the decades, God was losing some of the market share, so to speak, in the spiritual climate of Israel, in the places around Israel. And some of God's great rivals, people who worshipped idols, things called Baal and Ashtoreth, they seem to be making gains. And so some in Israel came up with an idea. They said, you know, maybe the old formula of God's words and commands and laws, maybe that's just not working. Maybe we need to revise things a little bit. Kind of a new word of God. And maybe what we could do is we could keep some of that old stuff, but we could kind of mix in some new ingredients. Oh, a little Baal, a little Ashtoreth worship probably doesn't hurt anyone. And we'll come up with a new formula. And the result? Disaster. It did not lead to any kind of spiritual awakening, but more spiritual deadening, as God's people continued to walk away from the Word of God. God became enraged at their lack of faithfulness to Him and their lack of faith in His Word. And God eventually allowed, some really nasty bullies, a great big bad gang called the Assyrians, to come and wipe out the Israelites, take them off into captivity. The year was 2017. And Christians looked across the landscape of American culture and society and they, maybe started to scratch their head a little bit and said, it seems like God's market share in the spiritual climate of this country is leveling, plateauing, or declining in recent decades. And it seems like His rivals are making great gains. Islam, New Ageism, Scientology, even Wiccan religion. So maybe this whole idea that, the way to go about it is to hang on to the old formula, all of the Word of God, every syllable of it, every doctrine, every truth. Maybe that's a little old. Maybe we need a new formula. Maybe we need to figure out how to mix some things in so we can, attract some more new people. And some in Christianity have tried to do that. There are some churches that will make no mention of sin because sin might offend people. But of course, as new ingredients are mixed into an old formula, eventually the whole formula kind of goes upside down and unfortunately and sadly, there are now some denominations that call themselves Christian, some pastors that even call themselves Lutheran, and yet question whether Jesus actually rose from the dead. Ouch. What's the solution to the problem in 700 or 2017? Isaiah tells us. And he tells us in these beautiful words with this beautiful picture from chapter 55 of the book that God inspired him to write. Just two verses, 10 and 11, but boy, are they profound and wonderful. I'd like to read them to you right now. This is Isaiah 55, verse 10. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You see Isaiah's solution? Stick to the original recipe, the original formula. He says that God's word works. And he uses that picture of rain coming down and dew. You don't always see it at work. There is a big bald spot in the middle of my yard that I was considering putting mulch on. And then I went away for 2 weeks. And I came back, and there's grass. Either some of you secretly snuck in and seeded my yard, or things were going on that I didn't see when I wasn't even working on it. Yeah. And that's often what happens with the Word. You don't always see the results. You might be tempted to doubt it, but God says, don't. It works. Like rain watering the earth, it will work when and where and how it will. And let me worry about the results. Okay. Now, as good Lutherans, perhaps we like to say, yeah, that's good. Let's say amen and sing God's word is our great heritage and move on. It sounds so good. But do you ever have trouble believing that? Is it hard to believe those words? Maybe it is. When you go on a family vacation or you go for a family reunion and you have a family member, someone who shares your own DNA, who scoffs at what you're doing this morning, and who wonders if you ever picked up any piece of scientific literature which would clearly debunk all of your religious hoaxes and myths. And that doesn't feel so good. And you wonder, does the word really work? And you go off to work, and you're surrounded by worldviews and opinions that are so different from what you're hearing here today and the people that surround you, and you wonder, does the word really work? And I don't think it could work on these people. Oh, yeah, yeah. And it doesn't seem to work fast enough and quick enough sometimes. And you wonder, well, and if we'd get a little more honest, maybe you wonder if it really works in your life. I'll be honest to you, as a pastor, when I do my own personal devotional time, I'm surprised at how clearly I can think of all the other things in life I need to be doing at that very moment. Never before has my to-do list and schedule been so clear as the few moments that I attempt to dedicate to prayer and listening to God's word. Oh, then all the deadlines are screaming. That never happens when I'm binge-watching my favorite show on Netflix. But when you get into the Word of God, do you ever hear that voice in your head saying, oh, really? Is this going to do everything? Come on. You had a devotion. Did you even feel anything in that? Did that really make a difference? And we start to doubt and we wonder, does the Word work? God got upset with those Israelites when they doubted that. He let the Assyrians come in and take them away. And so today we have a beautiful picture, but we have a warning from our God too that, yes, it's like a rain shower, but if you've ever watched the weather, you know that rain showers come and they go. And that if we do not prize and treasure the Word of God for what it is, the greatest thing we could ever have now or forever, God would have every right to move it or to move us away from Him. In this year of Luther quotes, we're celebrating the nailing of the 95 Theses in the fall. I'd like to share this quote with you. Luther said it to his countrymen, but I think it applies to us too. Let us remember our former misery and the darkness in which we dwelt. Germany, I am sure, has never before heard so much of God's Word as it is hearing today. Certainly, we read nothing of it in history. If we let it just slip by without thanks and honor, I fear we shall suffer a still more dreadful darkness and plague. Oh, my beloved Germans, buy while the market is at your door. Gather in the harvest while there is sunshine and fair weather. Make use of God's grace and Word while it is there. For you should know that God's Word and grace is like a passing shower of rain which does not return where it has once been. You Germans need not think that you will have it forever, for ingratitude and contempt will not make it stay. Therefore, seize it and hold it fast, whoever can, for lazy hands are bound to have a lean year. What's he saying? He was telling his countrymen that if they will not treasure the Word of God, it will go away. And Luther was almost a prophet on that end. When you visit many of the great cathedrals of Europe today, they're more museums than active churches. And so God talks to me and you clearly today. That rain shower is over you. You have the Word of God. But hear it, use it, treasure it. And then as you do, trust God's promises that it will not return to Him empty, but that it will work in your heart. And here you are today, hearing it, listening to it, receiving it, believing it, and what's happening? Through the Holy Spirit, I'm just the middleman, through the Holy Spirit, He's working in that Word to tell you some very important things. Number one, that you could never save yourself, no matter how hard you try, that you're profoundly more evil than you'll ever realize, but that He loves you more than you can ever comprehend. And that on the cross alone, all of your sins have been nailed, and in the empty tomb alone, you have life. And that's true. What else does He tell you? That you're not a meaningless accident wandering through a meaningless world, but you are His child, His son, His daughter. All the days were written for you before one of them came to be. All the hairs of your heads are numbered, even as records of the ones that have fallen off. So don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows, and He will be with you now and always. What else does He tell you? That He's going to take you to a place of perfect church attendance, perfect spirituality in heaven, where you will be perfect too, and that'll be nice. And that He will be with you every day. In fact, every day He wants to tell you those things, not just on Sunday. He wants to water your faith and calm your fears. And you know that it works because you're here listening to that very Word today. And I know that it works too. How? Why? Because I see the children come forward to the children's message. And I ask them questions in the children's message. And yes, sometimes the answers are interesting, but sometimes they're just absolutely beautiful. Sometimes those children look at me and they say, I believe in Jesus. He loves me. The Bible tells me. So why do they say that? Because the Word of God works. And they heard that in your home. They heard that in Sunday school. They heard that here. I think of a man named Ray, who after 57 years of alcoholism and womanizing and other things that we won't talk about in church, heard the Word of God, studied it for a year, looked at his Lutheran pastor and said, I believe, I believe. And then he died 3 months later and he's in heaven right now. The Word of God works. Think of a little baby being brought to that font and in a way that goes beyond our understanding. Water is put on that baby, but the Word is pronounced over that baby and the Holy Spirit creates a simple faith and trust even in that heart. The Word of God works. I think of the person that I see in the mirror, a lost and condemned creature by nature, but saved by the grace of God and knowing where he's going. And I think of the faces that I see here, faces that I will celebrate heaven with forever. What does that mean? The Word of God works. You don't need to change the formula. Believe it. Trust it. Share it. Let God worry about the results and the marketing, but you take it in. And know that it will not return empty, but will accomplish in your heart and mind the purpose for which God desires. What a wonderful formula. Amen.